Before Ellen Harmon had her first vision, God gave a message to William Foy, an African American, also from Maine. William was born near Augusta in 1818, 3 years after Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo. We know that his parents, Joseph and Elizabeth Foy, were free farmers, and that in 1835, at the age of 17, William was converted under the preaching of Silas Curtis, a Free Will Baptist minister. The next information we have finds him moving to Beacon Hill in Boston, about 1840, with his wife Anne and 3-year-old daughter Amelia.
William, I had no idea that Boston was so big.
It's big, all right, Anne. My Boston Common is almost as big as all of Augusta.
You found an apartment for us?
Yes, in the Beacon Hill area on North Grove Street. There are several churches within walking distance. The African Methodist Episcopal on May Street, the 12th Baptist on South Hawk.
Colored churches?
Predominantly. But I'm told we'll also be welcome at the White Methodist Church on Broomfield Street and Joshua Himes' chapel in Chardon.
Himes? He's one of those Millerites, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he is. Well, they all seem to be especially accepting of people of color. They're good people, with a good message. Not that I believe Christ is coming as soon as they say.
Will you have the chance to preach in all those churches?
I hope to be ordained in the Episcopal Church. But the congregations intermingle freely, so I expect to preach in other places, too.
I've learned that Boston has educational opportunities for colored people, too, and jobs.
Both are important. I think we chose wisely when we came here, Anne. And guess what?
What?
Both the Baptist churches and the African Methodist Episcopal are stops on the Underground Railroad.
Oh.
Do you think my sermon was well accepted, Anne?
Very well, I thought. The congregation seemed deeply interested as you presented the mercy and the grace of Christ.
I believe I'm getting the experience I need to round out my ministerial training. I've been invited to give a sermon next Sunday at the Baptist Church on Copley Square.
Oh.
On January 18th, the 23-year-old William and Anne attended a prayer meeting with a few members of the 12th Baptist Church on South Hawk Street.
And be with your children, Lord. Free them from oppression, from the chains of slavery. Give them a place in your house, Lord. And...
William! He's fainted! Someone get a doctor, please! How is he, Dr. Cummings? Will he be all right?
I don't know, Mrs. Foy. He's been out for 2.5 hours now. I've never seen anything like this before.
Oh, look! His eyelids are fluttering. William, are you all right, dear?
Oh, it's gone.
What's gone, dear?
So bright. So beautiful there. So dark here. So sad.
Something special has happened to you, hasn't it, Elder Foy? Please tell us.
I can't, Elder Black. Not now.
William, you've been depressed ever since you had that experience.
Anne, God showed me the most wonderful, marvelous things. I'm convinced now that Jesus' coming is near.
You agree with William Miller, then?
Well, I don't agree with setting a definite date. But I think he's right, that we must look for the Lord to appear very soon.
But you haven't told others what you've seen.
I feel it's my duty to tell people. But who will believe me, a colored man?
If you're convinced it's a revelation from God, then you must tell the people.
The angel, or whoever that was who guided me, didn't say I must tell the vision.
Remember Jeremiah. He too feared ridicule, but God's word wouldn't leave him. It was like a fire burning in his very bones.
I'm not Jeremiah. Death and darkness seem to fill My heart! Sometimes I wonder if I was ever truly converted.
Seeking to ease his conscience, Foy met often with the people of God, but he found no peace or comfort. At last, he realized that he must tell the vision he had received. Then, on the evening of February 4th, as he met with the May Street congregation,
"Praise God from whom all blessings flow."
William, are you all right? You look... William!
Number 4 is sick.
He fainted.
What's wrong?
Oh, he's going to be all right.
I've never seen horrible.
It's been more than 12 hours, Sister Foy. Perhaps we should get your husband to a hospital.
No, Elder Snowden. I'm sure he's in God's hands. Thank you, all of you, for staying with him.
He's coming around. Elder Foy! Elder Foy, are you all right?
Yes. As much as possible in this dark world.
Your wife says you had a vision, Elder Foy. Please, tell us what you've seen.
As soon as I receive strength, I'll reveal to you what God has revealed to me.
William found himself still loath to tell what had been revealed. After 2 days, God sent Pastor J.B. Husted, who invited William to relate his visions the next afternoon in the Second Methodist Episcopal Church on Bromfield Street, a white church. There, William found hundreds of people waiting to hear him. To the terrified man, each listener looked like a mountain. But as he prayed, he heard a voice promise, "I am with thee," and he gave his testimony.
"I beheld one arrayed in white raiment, whose countenance shone beyond the brightness of the stars. This shining one took me by my right hand and led me upon the bank of a river. The righteous passed through 3 changes. Their bodies were made glorious. They received pure and shining garments, and bright crowns were given. The angel laid hold upon the gate and opened it, and the saints, both small and great, sang with loud voices and passed within the gate. Beneath our feet was the appearance of pure glass. There were arrayed before me an innumerable multitude. Their crowns were like the brightness of stars. I beheld a tree that was like transparent glass, the limbs like gold. Beneath this tree, standing on the sea of glass, were the righteous, arrayed in white raiment, with crowns on their heads, plucking fruit from the tree. The guide said, those that eat of the fruit of this tree return to earth no more. I raised my hand to partake of the heavenly fruit, but alas, I immediately found myself again in this lonely vale of tears.
From March to May 1842, William traveled throughout New England, relating the wonderful things he had seen. People flocked to the churches and halls to hear about his revelations of heaven. Young Ellen Harmon and her family went to hear him at Beethoven Hall in Portland, Maine. All this time, he was at peace. Then, a new fear began to haunt him.
You see, William, I wasn't hardly nervous at all when you spoke tonight, even though I'm constantly aware of how dangerous it is for you to appear in public where you aren't known. Why, all we need is for one southern planter to claim you're a runaway slave.
I know, Anne. And colored people, even freemen, aren't allowed to testify for themselves in court. I know.
So it's dangerous to be away from people who know us. Moving to Boston was bad enough, but traveling around like this... But I did sit very still tonight, I thought.
You did very well, Anne.
Then why do you look like you're suffering the blue megrims?
It costs money to travel, Anne. Money for us to eat and pay for lodgings.
But don't the gifts from the congregations cover expenses?
No. And all our savings are gone. To keep us from want, I'll have to stop preaching full time and go back to work.
William, you've been working for 3 months now, and you haven't cheered up at all.
You're right, Anne. I've had no rest, day or night. I must do my duty. I'll return to traveling and telling the revelations I've received.
William had some difficult times, and he faced prejudice. But he testified that God's promise to be with him never failed. He had two more visions, probably in the summer of 1844, and told these too. He remained active in the ministry until his death in 1893 at the age of 75, still expecting to meet his Lord, if not in this lifetime, then at the resurrection. God's first messenger fulfilled his duty faithfully, preparing the way for the next servant who would be called.